Hare Krishna. Today we're sort of finishing up on the first volume of Lava Raja Mahima. Sundarup divided the book into 8 volumes. We are finishing up the 4th chapter, and that contains the relevant appendices, introduction, tattva, and other such matter in the beginning of the book. And that's encouraging. We're moving along, moving forward. Today I've got some questions here from Kokila Bihari. He's asking one question that Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna because of Arjuna's lamentation. Arjuna was in a position of difficulty and Krishna spoke the Gita to eradicate his ignorance. But we know that Krishna also spoke to the sun god. Is there some kind of similar circumstance that he spoke to the sun god to illuminate him? Was it Imam Vivashvate Yogam? Was he speaking to the Jiva sun god, or was he speaking to Surya Narayan sun god? I've not read any Puranic history that spoke about Krishna speaking to the sun god, and to which particular sun god he may have been speaking, although Krishna describes him as being Vivaswa. Whether there was some similar distress behind it, or simply Krishna was glorifying the Gita itself, speaking the Gita, and the Gita was being heard by the sun god because it's a wonderfully relishable transcendental literature. Tavakatamrita, anything about Krishna is relishable, as are his pastimes, so is also his teachings. Just like Sanatana Goswami, at the conclusion of Lord Chaitanya's teachings to him, he asked Lord Chaitanya to repeat the explanation that he'd heard Lord Chaitanya spoke to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya about the Atmarama verse, and Sanatana Goswami wanted to hear Lord Chaitanya's glorification of that one verse. So Vaishnava is always eager to hear from the Lord. The expansions of the Lord are always eager to hear from the Lord also, and to hear the Lord's glories. So everyone wants to hear, be it demigods, humans, sages, forms of the Lord, want to hear Krishna's own words, because they bring great pleasure to the heart, to the mind, give inspiration, and give enlightenment, transcendental knowledge. And the second question, he says in the, my book, Bhaktivinoda Purports, say that academics really can't understand or enter into the meaning of the Bhagavad Gita. If they want to, they at least have to theoretically accept that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Of course, that's a statement that Prabhupada says in the introduction to the Gita. So, Kokila Bihari's question is, what's the difference between this recommended theoretical acceptance of Krishna's godhood and the initial faith that a novice or a new devotee may have? The answer is that one is real faith and the other one isn't. This, in the end of the Gita, then it's said one who worships Krishna by his intelligence. By reading the Bhagavad Gita, we worship Krishna by his intelligence. This sort of intellectual adjustment. Don't be arrogant. Don't just cast aside the possibility that Krishna could be God. But, all right, let me read this book from the perspective that if Krishna was God, what was he saying? It's something that I'm comparing to as a sort of an agyata sukriti, some kind of unknown pious activity or an unknown type of faith. It resembles faith, but it's not real faith. But at least it keeps a person intellectually open. And since by worshipping Bhagavad Gita, with one's intelligence, the result will be is that someone does so with the proper intelligence. In other words, if he's open, then there's every chance that real faith will actually grow in that person by hearing Krishna's words. Otherwise, if someone starts off in an antagonistic, atheistic mentality, how can you really appreciate what Krishna says? At least this is a non envious mood, as Krishna says, ashradhana, those who are faithless and envious, Bhagavad Gita is not for them. So at least don't be in that situation. And then considering where these people are situated, at least spiritually, at least they can get the most out of the Gita that their condition allows them. Otherwise, they're completely cut off from any real understanding of the Gita at all. Gopal Leeladhar here in Nirvajadam, because Kokila Bihar is also from Nirvajadam, he's saying that in the end of Śrīla Bhakti Cintamani, there's a story of this Achyutananda Das, and his question is that what are the, how's the development of remembrance in chanting Hare Krishna or meditation? What is the development in the meditation one performs while chanting Hare Krishna go as one goes from the beginning stages of devotional service to Ruchi and Asakti? My answer is that remembrance and absorption up until the stage of Nishta is, generally speaking, meditation on the sound vibration of Krishna's holy name. When that meditation is very steady, then naturally taste will gradually start to arise. And with the awakening of taste, one first becomes very absorbed, relishing the process of chanting Hare Krishna. And when one becomes attached to Krishna, more attached to Krishna than actually the activity of chanting Hare Krishna, or the sadhana activity, then that naturally invokes those things that we have heard about Krishna, about his qualities, about his pastimes, about his form. They naturally begin to manifest within a sincere heart. And only at the platform of transcendental realization are devotees then given real access into those pastimes. Until then, it becomes the absorption of a purified mind. At the stage of bhava and prema, the meditation or absorption in chanting the holy name is not an act of sadhana, it's not an act of practice, but rather it's direct experience, and it's not something that's experienced through the mind, but it's something, although experienced with the mind, is actually the activity of the soul and in admittance into Krishna's own spiritual realm. So it becomes a actual transcendental experience that one is perceiving. Not thinking about Krishna's pastime, but seeing Krishna's pastime. Not thinking about Krishna's form, but actually seeing Krishna's form. Or at least having the opportunity to see Krishna's form, because even devotees who are transcendentally situated, it isn't that all the time they're going about seeing Krishna's form wherever they are, but Krishna Karshani Jatan. But they have the potency to invoke Krishna's presence, and because they have the potency to invoke Krishna's presence, therefore sometimes they do directly see Krishna. And that's it for today. We'll continue tomorrow. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.